Hey guys, welcome back to the Cowboy Stories. The sponsors for today's episode are Cade Coombs Horseshoeing and Hell's Backbone Ranch and Trail. You can find more information on them at bouldermountaintrails.com. And our newest sponsor is Hot Horses and Livestock. That's H-A-U-G-H-T, Horses and Livestock. They're a small ranching family who specialize in young horses. They ride a lot of horses for the public, but if you're looking for a young performance horse prospect or an older ranch horse or even competitive rope horses, they have a variety of them for sale. You can find them on Instagram at Hot Horses or on Facebook at Hot Performance Horses. That's H-A-U-G-H-T. We're so grateful for all of our sponsors. We really appreciate them. And if you or anybody you know is interested in sponsoring this podcast, please feel free to send me an email to cowboystoriespodcast@gmail.com.
The muddy river runs right through it.
Oh, okay.
You can get in the mud on the muddy river, too.
Have you ever had a scary experience getting in the mud?
I had old Sam Bringer build me a brand new saddle. And we went down there in the summer. Good thing it was summer. It was late spring, early summer. And we found... there's about six or seven cows. So me and my brother started following them. We just driving along. Those cows went across the muddy. And Feely says, my brother says, we can cross anywhere those cows do. So he went across, but he led his horse. And I thought, well, if he can lead and get across there, I can ride. So I headed across there and that horse went down.
Oh.
And I went off the back end, put a spur track right up over the top of my brand new saddle, lit on my back in the water, jumped up and that horse went right on through.
And was fine.
He's fine. Gosh. But I was wet. Good thing it was a hot day. If it had been a cold, wintry day, I'd have froze to death.
Gosh.
But the Paces have been in the cow business forever. I'm a fourth generation cowboy from Wayne County. My great grandpa and my grandpa owned back 160 cows over on what they call Lake Creek on Thousand Lake. And my grandpa got in a, I guess you'd call it a contest with the forest ranger, and sold them all to Jeffrey. Jeffrey owned Baker Ranch, Jeffrey Ranch. That's on over on the east side of the Thousand Lake. And that's before Baker bought it.
What was the contest? That sounds like a good story.
Well, I don't know. They just... I call it a pissing contest. They was fighting each other.
Oh.
He didn't like the ranger and what he was wanting him to do, so they sold out. Mm. And then he moved back over and he went to work at the... well, he stayed at... he had 30 cows on the sulfur, which just right up here on the Thousand Lake. And then he switched them to sheep. And when my dad was in high school, he run sheep, and they had pure blood Rambouillet sheep, and they sold their bucks to Kings. Now, Kings had all the sheep in the country. That's where my grandpa Coombs started. He was a foreman for Kings, and they used to pay him sheep for part pay.
Mm. nice.
And when he got a herd of 1,000 head, old Emory King told him to go herd his own sheep. That's how he got in the sheep business. It was him and Sam Allen, both of them started out herding when they become King's foremen.
Well, tell her why he was able to get sheep instead of money. Because the grandma, right?
Yeah, my grandmother ran the Teasdale Market.
Oh.
And she sold all the spliced sheep herd. They'd resupply right here in Teasdale.
Okay.
See, all these sheep of those kings lived here in Teasdale. And that, see, now Becky's relatives, they were the Meekses. And in 1906, they were running on east side of Boulder in the top and down in the, around the Henry Mountains in the wintertime. Well, they went up there one spring and all them damn sheep was around there and there was no grass. Sheep took it all. So they looked around and they decided that there was no future on the Boulder Mountain for them anymore. So they went to Canada.
Really?
And they shipped 500 head of cattle out of Sigurd on the train to Canada.
Wow.
And they left, that was two brothers, and they left the other two down here. And there's old Rube Meeks and Arth Meeks. Now, I don't remember Arth Meeks. He was gone for a, but I knew old Rube. They owned all, damn near all the Bicknell Bottoms. Plus, they run cattle on the Henry Mountains. They left, they didn't go back up on the Boulder. They was down on the Henrys and on the desert, and then up here in the Bicknell Bottoms. Now, their dad started what they call the Brindle Dairy. And it's out on the east side of Boulder, and they made cheese. He'd leave Bicknell with his short-horned cows, go out there and put them in his pasture and milk them once a day and give the calf milk the next time. And then he'd take his sow pigs with him, plus his litter of pigs.
Uh-huh.
And they'd make cheese and feed the whey to the pigs. And then come fall, they'd slaughter the pigs and haul them back to town and then drive the cows to Bicknell. That was the Meeks' dad.
Quite the process.
That's
neat.
Part of, they were over toward Boulder, just up above Oak Creek.
Is there still like a homestead or anything there? Where
no,
they were?
It's just a pasture.
We've never been there.
They never did. I've been there hunting deer, but I didn't know it was there. It's Forest still owns it.
Oh, okay.
See, and
that's really neat. That's a cool story.
And then the Wildcat Ranger Station.
Yeah.
That was a dairy. Old Urban Hanks's dad. He was one of my school teachers. He lived down in Grover, but his dad had that, and they made him a forest ranger. So he gave up his patent on claiming the land.
Okay.
My grandpa fenced up on Thousand Lake what they call Wisp Pasture. He was taking that up. They made him forest ranger, and he gave that up. So there's only two pieces of private ground on this side of the Boulder Mountain. You get over on the other side over around Boulder, there's King's Pasture and Hawes Pasture. And
yeah.
I don't know. But over here, there was only two pieces. One of them is Dark Valley. There's a piece of ground out there. And then there's Happy Valley. We actually owned them both.
Really?
We bought Happy Valley. That's after my brother retired from the Army. And we bought that on speculation. We resold it. We got in a lawsuit and everything else on that.
Really?
But we finally got rid of it. But we still own Dark Valley. There's 120 acres. And that's an old dairy.
Neat.
Those Comans, which my great-grandmother was a Coman, her brother took up Dark Valley pasture. And Snows, they got involved. They were relations. Old Charlie Snow and my great-grandma Coleman their wives were sisters. And that, anyway, Johnny Coleman ended up with it, and we bought Johnny out. He had a farm right down here. We bought it, plus the pasture, plus his grazing permit. And that's how Pace's ended up with Dark Valley. Anyway, my ancestors all been in the cow business all their life.
That's cool. Why did you want to stay in the cow business? Was it something both of you had always wanted to do?
Or? No, but when I married Becky, she was a school teacher in Bountiful.
Okay.
I've graduated from Utah State, and I got a perfect job at Bountiful High School teaching business. And I kind of like city life.
Yeah.
And I told her if she'd either marry me or I'd go find somebody else.
Oh, really now? Oh, boy, that's quite a story. Don't believe that part.
When she, I was a county agent when she came to married me. But and then the price of cows come up a little, and I thought, well, I'll go back down and work on Pace Ranch. Then Becky and I about starved to death for how many years? I had 5 girls. Okay. I don't have any boys. And during that time, 5 girls and me making, when I was a county agent, I made about $600 a month. And when I went back to work for Pace Ranches, I went back to 3.
Wow.
Of course, she got a job as a
teacher.
She taught music. What else did she teach?
I taught at the high school. I taught English and history, drill team.
Nice. Was that really stressful for you, going from that job to having him come back to work for the Paces?
Yeah, that was. But he seemed a lot happier doing what he was doing than going to work up to Loa in the courthouse. So if he was happy, then I was happy. I just kept working.
Yeah.
She worked, and when she had so many kids, she quit. That's when she damn near started.
After I had my 4th child in 6 years,
In 6 years? Wow, good for you.
Years, yeah. That wasn't that quick.
It was, 6 and a half.
I thought it was.
It was coming pretty fast. Then I quit for a while, but then I had to go back to work in 1984.
Then she went to work as a social worker.
Oh, okay.
When I was in high school, I thought I was a rodeoer. We used to go to Boulder. You know where that old arena is in Boulder?
Uh-huh, yeah.
We'd go over there and they'd bring in all the cows out of the pastures and all the bucking horses they could find and buck them out on the 4th of July.
And you'd go?
I'd go over there and ride. That one year, I think I rode 20. My buddy Heber broke his ribs on about 22.
Oh. You rode 20 what?
Old cows.
You did?
They'd pay you $1 to get on, $2 if you rode.
That's so funny.
That's a lot, isn't it?
And you could just keep going as long as you wanted?
Well, as long as the rodeo, as long as they had cows. And then they had old Cecil Alvey, and then old Dell's dad, old the Fever, what the heck is it? He had a horse called Bug Juice. He'd ride him in there and they'd take the saddle off and put him in and he'd buck.
Really?
But old. He had a horse, that old Bug Juice. We went over to Escalante to a rodeo once. My buddy Jack Taylor, some other kid from Escalante, about to have a big fist cuff over who got to ride Bug Juice. Jack got on Bug Juice. I think that's over to Boulder, though. He got on Bug Juice over to Boulder. He rode him, and then instead of going, getting a pick at him and take him off, he got off on the pole fence. That horse turned around and kicked him right in the butt.
Oh.
He was on the fence, and that horse swiped him. We thought we were great rodeoers in those days. That's when C.O. Arnold's nephew, Darrell Alvey, used to ride. There was a horse from Escalante, or from Boulder, that could outrun anything in the state. They'd get up there. They about got jailed up Salt Lake. They got betting on, I don't know what they called that horse, but they got betting. It was on a Sunday. The cops getting a lot of run on Sunday, but they was out there betting on some race. And the cops showed up. That was a state meet. Can't remember that old horse name. I know old Amron Peterson owned him.
Okay.
He lived in Boulder.
Did you ever get involved in that?
Oh, I never did. I have too many racehorses. We had a little mare called Candy Bar. She could run the barrels and the poles. I could beat anybody in the state on her.
Did you raise her or buy her?
Just run them. She just run the barrels and the poles.
Did you raise her?
Yeah, I raised her. She was three bars. Some guy out of Kanosh had a stud horse and brought him over. He was over here breeding mares and left it out what we call the stirrup place for him. We had a grill out there. Put the mare in the stackyard and he had two stud horses, a big high pole fence. Somebody forgot to put the plug back in the door, and the next morning that mare'd run with old Hugh Bar X all night. And that's the only colt he sired.
Really?
In that trip. Don Taylor took a mare too over Kanosha left her, but he was just going through here. He had a black, it's both three bars.
That's cool.
And that colt out of her was called, we call it Candy Bar. And we taught her to run we riding clubbed on her when she's 2-year-old. She could burn up the poles and the barrels.
Cool.
When my kids were high school, they thought they were high school rodeos. I sure wished I'd had her then. They could have run the barrels and pulled on her and probably won.
Do you still raise any horses?
Yeah, I raised too many. And then my grandson he's gone horse nuts. Horses.
Yeah.
They cost you money. I can see why they charging $7,000-$8,000 for a colt. But we've been in cow business. See, we raise gelfies.
Why do you choose those?
Well, we used to be Hereford. Everybody was Hereford. And then we went to a breed called, we went to Art Linkletter's Expo down in Las Vegas, and they had a bunch of Devon. They're from England. They come out of Oregon. And we bought some bulls, Devon bulls, crossed on a Hereford. In fact, that one place we'd buy bulls from, they sold some cows to a guy in Rifle, Colorado, and he kept them. He just a spoiled kid, didn't know what he was doing. And he sold them in Grand Junction. We went over and bought a half a semi-load. Brought them over. They were straight Devon. We used to cross them. We raised a few Devon bulls, not too many. And then we were looking for something to cross on them. You couldn't get them. The only place they raised them was Mississippi. And a few in Oregon. So I went up to test center and old Roger Turner had Yelvy Brown Swiss cross. And it was kind of a brindle looking thing. And I went in there and my dad was out visiting his friends. He didn't even go in the damn sale. And there's a Hereford bull come through and I bid on and bought it. Walked outside and old my brother-in-law's dad, he was a cussing. He was bidding on that damn bull and some of his relatives bought it out from under him. And old Sherman Berenson, I says, you want that bull, you can have him. So he took him. So I went back in and this Yelvy Brown Swiss come through and I bought him. And my dad's sitting out there and here come the bull out of the pen. He looked at it and he says, wouldn't have that damn thing on my place if. And I walked out and told him I'd bought it. Anyway, we run that thing out on the mountain. See, that had gained, that had a hell of a gain. That had gained 5 pounds a day for every day he'd ever been alive and all this baloney. Turned him out on this Bicknell Spring Range, and next time we saw him, he'd lost 10 pounds for every day he'd been out there. Looked like it. So then we went to Denver and got into Pure Bloods. Bought a bunch of them, crossed them up, and then we went to, I went to Montana and bought some cows, but my brother went to Oklahoma and bought a flat deck, 30-some cows, and bull. They brought them in here. And then we've been caught, we were going all over. Now we're crossing our pure bloods with Angus making balancers.
Okay.
They're pretty good cattle. We tried Simmental, or my uncle did. Down in those deserts, they don't survive.
Really?
The cows will survive all right, but they only calve every other year. And if you get down there calving in the snow, damn things won't get up. They're too big.
Gosh.
So you got to... Anyway, we've been through a whole bunch of different breeds.
When you think back on your experiences that you've had living this kind of lifestyle, are there any specific memories that stand out to you?
Not that I can think of right now. I'm just every day. It's all the same. The thing about being a farmer, there's no 8-hour days. Time doesn't mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you're...
How about the time that we had those cattle killed down on the river?
Oh, yeah.
That was a...
We had 20-some head cows, truck goes through.
Well, they were driving cows from Torrey over here.
We were going...
Pure blood. In those days, they were gold.
Yeah.
Gold, and then they were right there on the river. Well, nobody was in front telling the people to stop at the back. They forgot, so...
Forgot? We never did do that.
A truck? Like you
were...
They were driving a rock cows truck on the road.
Oh, okay.
Just crossing the river, coming out of Torrey this way.
Yeah.
Cattle drive, coming from Torrey to Teesdale.
The Jackson boys off that hill, and he didn't have any brakes, too much. Poured right, knocked the car off the side, didn't hurt anybody in the car, but
He came in a truck.
He knocked the car off the road, plus he killed 20-some head of cows. Well, a lot of them he didn't kill. He broke their legs.
So they had to go shoot them all, and they tried to save some of them.
Would be a tragic thing.
I've got pictures and stuff. That was.
We had to go up to... We found a herd of cows. Dewey Woolsey used to be our cow trucker. He's raised over Escalante, where you come from, when he's a kid. But he went up to Harriman. We bought somebody had a herd of cows for sale. They was turning the ground into housing. They didn't have the pastures. We bought 30 some head from him. Of course, the insurance paid for that trucker's insurance paid for those cows.
Yeah. Was he okay?
Yeah, he was.
A boy with him.
Oh.
And they went off into the, if you cross the river bridge, just from Teesdale to Torrey, they went off the side and landed down there in the swamp. And luckily they were okay. I think he was having some problems before that time, and he straightened up his life and made a difference in his life.
Wow.
Right now I'm calving. I got one Peruvian. I usually have two, but I got a calver. The other kid, he was supposed to go home, but he ended up in California herding goats. He got his contract changed from going back to Peru. He went to California. Got his paperwork and all work. Then I've got one that stayed here this winter. They call him Cavers. He's down here. I just started calving my heifers and I'm damn near half through. We got a cabin barn down here. He's got these cameras. And they're not Wi-Fi, but he's got a cord that runs into his trailer house, which is right next to the trail where the cabin barn is.
Uh-huh.
And he's got those cameras all around. He can lay there in bed and see the whole trail.
Nice. Check them out without getting out of bed.
That's right. As soon as they start calving, then he'll go put them in the barn.
Huh. Smart.
He's not lost the calf yet.
Yeah. Cool.
Been close. He had one cow lay on it after he put her in the pan.
Hmm.
But the other night, I think we got 22. And then,
cool.
Then next month we'll start on purebloods. I got about 40 pureblood gilveys.
Hopefully they calve smooth.
I hope they have a bull.
Yeah.
They're all AI'd. We AI. Well, we AI all spring. We breed all our heifers AI, and we breed all the pureblood cows and Tory that will cycling AI'd and some out here in the trail. Then in the spring, we got a reseeding down here on the Miner's Mountain below Grover. We all water out there and put about 125, 30 cows up, heifers mostly. That's three brothers. See, we split place, but we all run together. We're on the same. Pace Ranch has had the permit to start with. And then I bought a little bit, and Phillip's kid bought some, but it's all on the same range.
But you all kind of have your separate things.
All cows are all separate, but we still run together.
Okay. I always like to ask people what their advice would be to the next generation coming up in this industry.
I don't know. Depends on the politics. If it keeps going the way it is now, you just well forget it. Public range, you better go private. Because these people that want them to go with all this clean, do away with gasoline, go electric, do away with coal. I don't know whether they can't do that, but they're going to, I don't know. I don't think you can operate without, but.
It just seems like the force is against us.
Yeah.
You know, there's people in Washington, D.C. that does not understand West at all.
Who are trying to manage the West, but they don't understand it.
My daughter owns, the one that lives down in Carlsbad, owns a place across the road. There's an Airbnb. I was over there one time. They wanted something, so I took something over there. And they were six people from New York City. And I was talking to them. They said, "This is the most beautiful place we've ever seen." They said, "We have never gone so far without seeing anybody in our lives." They said, "Every place is so far apart. We just are just flabbergasted." See, they don't understand how far it is from one town to the next.
Or even, yeah.
You know, if you go from like Torrey to Hanksville or through the park or even from Torrey over to Boulder, they said it's just miles and miles without seeing anybody. They were kind of lost. They're like kind of in shock for that. But people come here, you know, I go over there and talk to the people that stay at my daughter's house, and everybody's just amazed how beautiful it is here. They just are like, look around, and they said, "You don't see this anywhere in the world. The unique topography that you guys have here."
Yeah.
I hope that the cattle industry, you know, can stay afloat with all the politics and things.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to stay afloat. Of course, they're making meat out of vegetables nowadays or whatever. I don't know what they're making it out of.
Well, thank you so much for letting me come and visit with you guys. This has been fun.